More than 100,000 Americans are dying from drug overdoses every year, largely from the synthetic opioid fentanyl. But in recent years, no city has been hit as hard as Baltimore when it comes to overdose deaths. Special correspondent Christopher Booker takes a look at why. It's part of our ongoing series, America Addicted.
You have my number, right?
Yes, you got it.
Okay.
In this West Baltimore neighborhood, everyone seems to know Donna Bruce.
You be careful out here. You got Narcan?
After years of battling drug addiction, Bruce is now in recovery, but she still remembers just how tough this life can be.
Because we got to give them some resources so they can get to housing and stuff like that.
Today, she runs a nonprofit that provides support to families who have lost loved ones to overdose, and she helps those still struggling with addiction connect to social services and find treatment, a process that often starts with some basic questions.
Why are you here? How did you end up here? Like, what can we do to help you today, right? And those are the questions that stimulate relationships with people to be open to say, okay, listen, yeah, I do get high.
Yeah.
Put your hands on your eyes.
All right, on the day we joined her, Bruce had come with her 7-year-old granddaughter, Cassidy.
I got a big surprise to show you.
She wanted her to see a new street sign named in honor of her son, Devon Wellington, Cassidy's father.
Devon Wellington's Way. Wow. Look at that.
It was here in the summer of 2021 that the 32-year-old died from a drug overdose.
I'll never forget. I couldn't help my own son.
Okay, it's right up here.
Just a few miles away, Mona Southerly is also going back to where tragedy struck.
He was funny and he always seemed happy.
Southerly's 43-year-old son, Bruce, was found dead from an overdose at this abandoned Baltimore row house in 2022. The last time she saw her son, he told her that he was headed to an addiction treatment program.
He left. I gave him a hug. We were okay. And that's the last conversation I had.
She says her son had likely been dead for about a month before his body was discovered.
He left February 15th. And that's the day I feel like he died because I never heard from him again. And I wasn't worried about it because I thought he went to rehab. And people kept asking me, have you heard from him? And I'm like, no, I'm sure he's fine now. I'm sure he's fine. And then after 30 days, I called the police.
While the city has long struggled with addiction, the arrival of the synthetic opioid fentanyl hit Baltimore particularly hard. Up to 50 times more potent than heroin, in the past 6 years, almost 6,000 people have died from an overdose, an average of 3 people every day.
No major American city has had a drug overdose crisis as severe as Baltimore's today.
Alyssa Zhu and Nick Team are reporters for the Baltimore Banner.
They will have someone speak around 12:15.
For the last 2 years, they've been investigating the city's overdose crisis in collaboration with the New York Times.
Something that we have just heard over and over again is that every day we get a homicide tally, but we don't get the same for overdoses. And numerically, it is a far greater problem.
But getting that data wasn't easy. In 2022, after months of repeated requests for the city's autopsy reports, the Banner sued the state's office of the chief medical examiner. In January, a judge ruled in their favor.
We knew that these were public records and the public should know, you know, what's happening in the city in terms of overdose deaths.
From the moment that data ended up on my computer, we started investigating. And you look at it, and I mean, the entire city is colored with overdose deaths. Blocks in some of the poorer parts of Southwest Baltimore have lost upwards of 8% and 9% of their population to a fatal overdose.
Their reporting found that overdoses began spiking in Baltimore about a decade ago, as fentanyl ravaged a city grappling with multiple challenges, including gun violence and later the pandemic. They also found that one demographic has been hit especially hard, older Black men, who make up just 7% of the city's population, but account for nearly a third of all overdoses.
They die at higher rates from overdose than they did from COVID at the height of the pandemic, from all cancers put together. There is nothing statistically that kills this group of people more than fatal overdose.
How does the city respond to your reporting?
They were very defensive. They called our reporting misguided victim blaming. And they were saying that our reporting should have focused on opioid manufacturers' role in all of this because they are currently litigating against pharmaceutical companies.
This summer, Baltimore has reached $90 million in settlement agreements, the first with pharmaceutical giant Allergan, and just last week with CVS for their roles in the city's overdose crisis. And a September trial is set for several other defendants, including Walgreens and Johnson & Johnson. Citing the litigation, Baltimore's Mayor Brandon Scott declined our interview request, but his office provided the NewsHour with this statement. For years, manufacturers and distributors of prescription opioids targeted Baltimore with hundreds of millions of prescription opioid pills. This reporting faults the city for its efforts to clean up the mess these companies made.
I think we need to understand the problem.
Last month, Baltimore Councilman Mark Conway, who chairs the city's Public Safety Committee, planned a public hearing looking into what the banner's investigation found.
We as public officials need as much information as possible in order to be effective on the changing nature of drug overdoses.
But just hours before Conway's hearing was scheduled to start, it was abruptly canceled. Baltimore's mayor said a public hearing could endanger the city's litigation against opioid manufacturers.
For the city council not to be briefed and not to have transparent, open conversations about what we're dealing with because of pending litigation, I think is a mistake, because we have decisions that we should be considering right now.
While the litigation continues, many Baltimore families are still coming to grips with all that's been lost.
I never thought he was dead. I never, ever thought that.
When Mona Southerly finally got an update on her son, Bruce, it was the kind of news that no mother wants to hear.
When they found him, the police called and said, can I come over? And I was like, sure. He didn't even tell me. He just sat down and I sat down and I was like, I could see, I knew. I said, please don't tell me that.
Today, she wears a necklace that her son was wearing at the time of his death and tries to remember the good times.
We did so many things that I am so grateful for. And he made me so happy. You know, I wanted a lot more years, but you gotta be grateful for the time that you're given.
So this is Devon Wellington's way. You can come here whenever you want and see your daddy's street name after him. All right?
Donna Bruce is now using her son's death to try to reach as many people as she can before it's too late.
My son had to die for me to live. As if he understood that this was part of my assignment. For Cassidy.
For the PBS NewsHour, I'm Christopher Booker in Baltimore.